Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the December 2019 edition of Poet Radio. For this month's program, we're doing something a bit different. I was recently invited by an old friend, Mark Nowak, to attend and document a workshop that transpired at a retreat for the Workers' Writers' School, a group Nowak has been spearheading since 2010. The retreat took place at the Inn at Shaker Mills Falls in Canaan, New York, on October 5th, 2019, with the following participants: Alfreda Small, Mark Nowak, Faith Harper, Doreen McGill, Christine Lewis, Alondo McIntyre, Lorraine Garnett, Lizeth Palencia, and Mimfa Despabiladeras. I recorded the members of the group reading and discussing their poems, and that's what you'll hear on the program now, beginning with participant introductions, followed by readings and discussions. Here goes, Workers' Writers' School on WGXC.
Maybe the good first thing to do is kind of go around the table, everybody introduce themselves. Alfreda, since you're here, you want to start, and we'll kind of run.
Okay, my name is Alfreda Small, and I'm a part of the Brownsville Recreational Center in Brownsville, Brooklyn, basically the senior program there. And I was introduced to the Workers' Writer by Christine, and we were all in the public theater together doing doing plays for the last 7 years, and we do Shakespeare in the Park every year.
And I'm Mark Nowak, the director of the Worker Writer School. I started doing these poetry workshops with trade unions and worker centers, and I think it was 2005 in Chicago. Then I did a similar project with Ford workers at a closing plant in Minnesota and Ford plants in South Africa, Pretoria and Port Elizabeth. But this group really came together in this is now the beginning of our ninth year together in collaboration with Christine and Lizeth and Domestic Workers United, and we've been meeting now just about every once a month for the beginning of the ninth year, and I'm super excited to have the people who are here, and I think people from other organizations that couldn't be here today. We have some members from the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. We had a member who had to cancel at the last moment from the Retail Action Project. Keely from the Street Vendor Project, and so to bring all of us together over and over to this table to work and speak and create has been really empowering and incredible, I think.
My name is Faith Harper. I'm new to the Workers' Writers' School and Domestic Workers Union. I'm a theater major college student, currently taking a break, and I'm just here for the experience to get to know both organizations and, you know, kind of get into a community where I can, like, grow, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
I'm Doreen McGill. I'm an aspiring writer and a member of Domestic Workers United. I am a licensed family daycare provider in Manhattan.
Hi, I'm Christine Lewis with Domestic Workers United. I am the secretary, cultural outreach coordinator with DWU. I'm also a part of the Worker Writers Center that Mark, which is executive directed by Mark Nowak. I'm sitting at the table with a diverse group of people from varying organizations as well. That is big, 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 because community is what we need in this year of #45. So yeah, so we have literacy and liberation. At least we not forget all of that in the work that Mark is doing here at the table. To write truth to power, to write our stories that's never been told the way we will tell it. Mm-hmm. Because we all have that story. We're all griots, we're all sage, we're all prophets, we're all writers, we're all scribes. Mm-hmm. But we are. Hello. Hey, ashe, ashe, ashe. Did I go there?
Yes, you did.
I lost myself a minute. I'm back. Hello.
There wasn't any shaking, but there was some transcendence.
Yes, hello.
My name is Orlando McIntyre. I got introduced to the Workers' Writers Program through Christine about 4 years ago. It's been an immense experience so far. Never thought of myself as a poet or a writer, but I've been, you know, been pushed, been prodded. Thank you, Mark, to, you know, start exploring that part of me that could potentially be a writer, and that's why I'm here this weekend, to learn some more and grow some more.
Hi, I am Lorraine Garnett, and I was first introduced to the Workers' Writers Group through Mark Nowak, who, there was a flyer at the library, I saw a flyer at the library, Fairy Tale for Nanny, and which is I think a 4 weeks workshop. I did the workshop, and we had to do a presentation thereafter, and it was exciting. You know, we were there with a few nannies also. I think there were one or two teachers that was also in the group, and it was really wonderful to see that you could actually, we were doing a short story, that we could write the story. And thereafter, I was invited by Mark to join the Workers' Writers Group, and it really changed my whole position and my future, so to speak. I think I'm most proud of being in the group. The first time I had to do something on stage that I wrote, and my children came to see me. That was like, I don't know why this is happening, but for them to see their mom doing something that was different from the norm, that was one of my proudest moments. So I was really proud, and they weren't just proud because they were really proud, and that made me so proud to see that I can make a difference. Thank you. I don't know where that came from.
It's okay.
I don't know where that came from. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisette, and I'm representing Domestic Workers United. And I won't talk to Mike because Ms. Christine explained what we do already. But I joined Mr. Mark since the beginning, that he went to Domestic Workers United office. And to me, it's something that I started doing in the first grade. But after I started living in New York City, I just was doing work. So for me, it's a great opportunity to do poetry, to do theater, acting. I cannot explain how important it is to do these kind of things, because it's like instead to, not say, be home, sit and watch TV, you do something that will help the community, to encourage them to, instead to go home and watch TV, do something that, if you would like a course to improve yourself, to acknowledge something good. So I'm really glad to be here with all of
you. Good afternoon. My name is Nimpa Das Labradas from the Philippines. I am from Damayan Workers Association, a nonprofit organization that helps tropic women, wage step and everything. And I was introduced to Workers' Writers by Miss Christine and Lisette 2 years ago. And I'm glad I found out the opportunity with Mr. Mark, who inspired me a lot. And when I did that thing in Coney Island for Walt Whitman, it brought me back good memories when I was still in the fourth grade. And thank you so much, everybody, for the inspiration and for being here with you. I'm so honored. I feel emotional too because she cried.
I am so embarrassed. I'm so sorry.
Don't be embarrassed. It's the moment.
That's natural. Yes, it's catharsis. It's a natural cleansing
that you can control.
It's healing. It's, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, it's good to cry.
It's the doctor. It's joy.
I mean,
it's a
joy.
Hello.
Because workers, writers, they bring in us the best of us, and we learn, we open doors for everybody, and we're able to express our oppressions from our employers. We were able to voice it out, and so it will not happen to other people in the future.
because it's our story.
Mm-hmm. Listen, our story's big is what
yes,
academics
is.
Want.
It is.
So no, it's okay to cry. It's
it
okay
is.
To feel.
I am not.
Yeah.
I am. It's tears of happiness to be with you.
Good.
That's all.
Good.
And yeah.
Yes, you are listening to Poet Radio on WGXC. We've just heard introductions to the poets of the Workers' Writers' School, who are the featured subjects on this month's program. We'll now hear poems and discussion about poems by Alfreda Small, Nympha Despabiladeras, and Lorraine Garnett.
My name is Alfreda Small. I'm from the Brownsville Recreational Center. The world we live in, sold out by black female judge. Go back to slavery and one hug. Goodbye, hard work. Miss Ann, we doing okay.
Yes.
Well, we had a discussion coming along on the bus last night. And this poem that Alfreda read has to do with a case that happened in Texas. The sensationalism of that case where the boy was in his house and the policewoman was the intruder. And there's this big thing about forgiveness. Do we forgive this person who just shot our son? The boy's brother, they're from St. Lucia, and I know their Christianity sort of informed them hugging this policewoman. Even the father said he could be her friend. Later on, he said, we didn't talk about that. We didn't examine that part of the conversation. But the father of Jean Botham said he could be the policewoman's friend. So apart from the son, Brent, who is hugging the policewoman, apart from the judge, who is also embracing the policewoman, apart from the woman who is combing through her hair, you know, the correctional officer kind of patting her in her hair, the father is saying that he could be her friend. So this poem stemmed from that conversation we had last night, coming down on the bus. Could we, as Christians too, could that inform us forgiving? It's a tall order, right? So we had a really big conversation. Now the ethics of the judge, who is partial to this woman, comes off her dais and hugs the woman. Now, as Alfreda was saying, if it happens for one, it should happen for every perpetrator that comes by a desk. So the hypocrisy and the accountability. You know, Alfreda, you could finish the conversation about what you feel about the judge.
Well, it's a mentality. When I use that word, slavery mentality, back in the days of slavery, the slaves were supposed to comfort Miss Ann, the master's wife. Comfort. So we're going back to this comforting Miss Ann. Like, you don't have any pain.
Yeah.
You yourself, you're invisible. You have no pain.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay that your child was shot, but you have to comfort the master.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's
deep.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Nympha. I came from the Mayan Workers Association, a nonprofit for traffic workers. And my poem is Harassment at Central Park. A day at Central Park, meet a woman, a racist woman. She told me go back where I came from, not knowing me, judging me. I answered her, I pay my tax too.
Why did you write that poem? What was your inspiration?
My inspiration was to let other people not to judge you because you're a person of color, not knowing you, but they still judge you, like go back to the country where you came from. And we are all immigrants here. We have the right to dream of the American dream that they are doing for us to survive and to give help to our family. What is wrong with that? And we are working hard.
No, I just have to say about the nymphosis.
Okay.
That anyway, now I've been around that situation, now it's straight talking to me. But I've been telling people, let's go back history. How do you think you were born in the United States and North America? This is not America. This is a little piece, and we are the United States. Because the American continent is Central and South America. Do you think the star from the sky pull you down, and you land on the United States, that how you were born, the only Native American is the indigenous. So anyone else, someone from somewhere has to immigrate to the United States. That's how people were born in this country. That's the answer I give to anyone.
Anything else about Nympha's poem?
Yeah, I like she emphasized the fact of disrespect. There's no lack of respect for the human race. It's just we're so different, but yet we are the same, and it's just disrespectful.
What about it's Central Park? Like, it could be any place, but it's Central Park in the poem. Does that have any significance?
Well, class. I mean, class. The work that's done. You was walking the dog, right? Right. It's work. It's sacred work. It's work that, you know, and number one, the conditions that pushes us out of our countries to come here. The whole neoliberal policies that bring us here. Paying back the monetary banks from where we come, our government, you know, going through that whole motion. So we come to work, an honest work.
Yes.
Even if that's what you choose to do, it's dignity, afforded some dignity. But we're talking about racism, and we associate racism with the South. It's in the North. It's so subtle and underhand in the North that we forget that. Mm-hmm. You know, we feel it's a walk in the park, but right here in Central Park, mm-hmm. where you're walking among Nannyville, if you may, every other person you pass on the Upper West Side. So race and class, you know, the work that you do, and labor tied into all of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we associate race with the South. It's right in the North.
Yes, it is.
Hi, everyone. I am Lorraine Garnett. I'm a nanny. And this poem was written from a prompt, and the prompt was to write a poem choosing a vowel. That vowel must be in every single word. So this is what I did. It's titled Solidarity. Making humanity global, afresh, and dreamlike again. Avoid negative, hateful slime balls, malicious scumbag, narcissistic humans, nasty, heartless, racist animals, and also moral lacking mammals. Immigrants want clean water, American dream, a legitimate paycheck. Immigrants want affordable habitat, healthcare, education, and a safe, all-inclusive planet. All are immigrants. Papa, mama, grandpapa, grandmama, and great-grandpapa. All are families that are honorable and brave. Families having real ability and expectations. Immigrants leaving political danger, evading jail, escaping gang war, and craving asylum. Reveal compassion. Act against racial bias. Make humanity surreal and great again. Have a healing heart. Have a humanitarian heart.
I love that last line, because I think that's what's missing from us now. We need to find ways to have like a more humanitarian heart and a healing heart. You know, I see it every day. Parents and kids and parents, we're straying away from the human ideal where we, you know, we should see the commonality more. I know sometimes, and I'm in this, that, you know, like I'm not as an activist as you are, Christine. But like I do my own model, and I feel like sometimes when we get engaged in this work, we're more antagonizing than we are, you know. That last line, having that a humanitarian heart and a healing heart is necessary for us to overcome and transcend.
You are in tune to Poet Radio, WGXC, where you have just been hearing poems by Alfreda Small, Nympha Despabiladeras, and Lorraine Garnett, who are members of the Workers' Writers' School, featured on the program this month. These readings were made during the group's October 2019 retreat in Canaan, New York. And now we are going to hear from poets Lizeth Palencia, Alondo McIntyre, and Christine Lewis on Poet Radio.
So I just wrote something about life because, you know, I don't like spider by tree, you know, water. Mm. So God could have to make this chosen day free of the shaking mind, teach to the liberating day. This tree is not only a tree, it is a friendly tree that is always watching over you. This tree, it is a magical tree that make miracles happen. Hopes became realities, and nerves became always. Always, this tree is not only a tree, it is where everything a story, it is the tree of life.
We have so much to say.
So what is it like, I mean, for you and for others too, to be in a retreat space like this with, you know, everywhere, it's certainly not any of the burrows, right? When we look outside the window, like, and I like this line, the tree is not only a tree, right? And so what does that line mean, especially when we're in a place like this up in Canaan, New York, right? Not in the city, like what? Does our relationship change?
Where are squirrels? New York is full of squirrels. Where are squirrels?
When I was sitting outside, I was looking at the water and the tree, the rocks, and give me the impression of healing, peaceful, love, inspiring, you know, to see to the sky and the sun is there shining. It's completely different life. Like, you don't have to worry about the what's around, but this is like a healing place. Like, you know, you're sitting outside, look at the water, the rocks. It's wonderful, peaceful in the inner inside.
I'm not going home tomorrow. I'm just letting y'all know. Boy, practice and stay here.
You're just staying? You're not? You're I'm just. Gonna, this I'm your gonna, room is your you room now. You occupy your room. Like, occupy all
street. Occupy, that's right. I'm going to occupy. I'm not going home. I'm just gonna go in my room and lock the door and refuse to come out.
My name is Orlando McIntyre. I'm not with any organization per se, but I was introduced to the Workers Writer program by Christine, and been grateful that you know, I have this experience. This piece is called The Dancer. To the boy who dances alone, unable to witness the awesomeness from his own eyes, he succumbs to standards that trend towards a story composed of truthful lies. The chirp of the birds tell the message once you get past the disguise, but all he hears and sees reasons to fear, shed tears, and stifle his cries. To the boy who dances alone, unaware of the magic he possesses, he treads a path perceived to be nothing but accumulated losses, one he detests. The rising of the sun is a testament of the possibilities already begun, but all he feels is heat, hot air produced by a fan praying to not overheat. To the boy who dances alone, he doesn't exist, for he was never ever alone.
Let me ask you, is this from Sarah? Is this from the whole thing around the boys dancing?
No,
actually, it's not.
No, it's not. It was for me one day this summer. It was really hot and my family's not here. Dad passed, you know, like several years ago.
Yeah.
And like it was a moment of aloneness. It was supremely hot because I didn't have an AC. And, you know, I was just thinking and it was like, you know, it was like I feel like I'm alone at times. But then you have to kind of like dig into yourself, be introspective. And realize that you're not really alone because there are people, you know, there's friends, and we sometimes condition ourselves to be like, hey, you know, you're alone, but really and truly you're not. At the very minimum, there's a reason why you're here, and there's a higher purpose, and I do believe there's a God, and God, you know, like God is with you at all times, despite your conditions, despite what you're experiencing, and that's kind of what I was trying to allude to. Okay. In this, especially in the last few lines, you know, like
read it again.
To the boy who dances alone, he doesn't exist, for he was never, ever alone. Yeah.
Okay. So, because for me, it conjures up, I mean, the whole story around Prince Edward's son, one of the prince's son who was doing ballet, and then this whole hoopla with Sarah, Lara, kind of taunting the fact that boys mm-hmm. dance. Mm-hmm. So when you say the boy dance alone, I felt for me,
yeah.
that's where you were alluding to. Uh-huh. But you heard about that, right?
No, I've never heard about
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was fairly recent, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Prince George.
Prince George's son, right. Mm-hmm. He was doing the ballet, mm-hmm. and she made a big thing about it, that the entire Facebook with dancers, friends of mine who are male dancers, mm-hmm. they took the task for a week. Mm-hmm. To show pictures of men dancing. Mm-hmm. And it's okay too. Okay. Especially that group in Brooklyn called Something Positive. Mm-hmm. You remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So African men are big dancers.
Right, no, so everybody took to... Yeah. So when you first started, that conjured up in my mind. Okay. Is it there he's going with that?
Oh, interesting. So that means I'm speaking to something because I was not even aware of that story.
Oh, yeah. That was a big story.
There were also the dancers, was it 2 or 3 years ago when you were in the play at the Public? There were the Dabka Freedom dancers who ended that.
The Palestinian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they were incredible.
That's right. Incredible. That's right. So, yeah. So, Prince... It's his son, right? Yeah. The prince's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why she made a big deal about him doing ballet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, every and I like the cadence of your poem. I like the stanzas that stands, the boys that dance. It reminds me of when I used to do Robert Louis Stevenson. We need the tree on the Caribbean. We had to
enunciate.
Yeah. Okay. You know those lines that repeat.
Yeah.
So it takes me back to my childhood. They say what you're learning for life is what you learn in kindergarten is really true.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned poetry through having to fold my arms and repeat by rote.
Yeah.
So it rang true to me, but it also took me to that place of men dancing.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
You know. Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Christine Lewis, and I am the Secretary Cultural Outreach Coordinator with Domestic Workers United. I wrote this poem, not poem, this essay, if you may, and it was for my aunt. And I want to do it because I was on the front line at the shirtwaist factory space by NYU some weeks ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it had to do with women who work in the homes for 24 hours and get paid for 12. That's the conversation we're having with National Mobilization Against Sweatshop, which is NMAS. Women who are caregivers who work in the homes for taking care of the patient that Lisa talked about for 24 hours, yet getting paid for 12. And I'm saying this in paying homage to my aunt, who recently passed on. When I had written this, she was still alive. So in July... the second week in July, she passed away. She lost her life to Alzheimer. And my mother, after my aunt died, my mother turned 81. So my mother was taking care of her sister, who was around 86, at 80 years old, and still doing it. So I'm kind of honoring my aunt, the legacy of my aunt, and I have to do this as my way of closure too. And I read it when I wrote it when she was alive. Mm-hmm. And it so happened she succumbed. Dear Auntie, I am inclined to ask, how are you? Knowing that you wouldn't be able to read this letter, much less make sense of it. My sister, nieces, or mother would be the one to read it to you. But I would ask it anyway. How are you? The cruel fangs of dementia sure took a hold of you. Hard to fathom. But then there are many more questions than answers. Auntie, you were really fine when you were here with us that late summer of 93. Although I had my doubts, you'd sit in the kitchen in utter darkness with your brown paper bag filled with all manner of pills. Pills for the back, pills for the knees, pills for simply what ails. If there was any ailment at all. Or how you made Dr. Harrison richer. You could call upon him at any time and he just knew. No explaining, no nothing. He just write up a prescription for some Buscopan code. It was just a code between you both. It was just so hard for me to see you sit in darkness, considering how much you loved light. Then again, it was your preference to sit in darkness if you so choose. That summer, remember how we celebrated Susie's 40th birthday? It was at the Masons Hall on Avenue D. You were a little skeptical at first. Those Masons were mysterious, you'd say. We celebrated all night. We celebrated all right. Nothing popped out of trapdoors. No hocus pocus. Roti, curried crab with cassava dumplings, island-style rum punch with sex by the beach was the rage that night. You never drank. That dress you made for me from the African kente cloth was the talk of the party. How I boasted that you sewed and designed for beauty queens and parliamentarians. It was true. How I boasted that you sewed, how I wished I had made use of those sewing machines when you left to further your studies in fashion design in South of France. Auntie, just so you know, the House of Givenchy had nothing on you when it came to designing. You were truly the Duane of high fashion. Talking about sex by the beach, Mama for some reason never talked about love and sex, considering that she had six of us. Not to mention she was a juvenile when she had my eldest sister, her first. Auntie, you laid it out. And, well, let's say you held nothing back when you noticed all the boys coming to the yard. I tell you, if you were to ask me, Mama was sworn to secrecy on most days. Could we say that of most Caribbean women? I wonder. That said, I hope this letter doesn't touch Mama's hand. Last week, I decided to call home, thanks to my international calling plan. I did not speak to Mom nor Dad in a minute. You know the things that get in the way, school, papers to write, the next rally would picture the homeless in front of the mayor's office. Dad would often remind me, Madam, they will throw you out of the country. How could you go in another man's country to rewrite the laws? I am warning you. It's no excuse, however, for not touching base. Auntie, you wouldn't know this. When Mom handed you the phone, you sang to me from beginning to end, word for word. I know my Redeemer live. Baffled, I cried as I listened to you sing. How could you remember the words to that old English hymnal, but couldn't remember that I was the daughter of your sister? You actually said to me when I was done talking to you, do you know those children's mother? Talk to her. Those children's mother was my mother, Auntie. You wanted to know what was the weather like, even pausing to ask, when would we be coming home? How much you missed us. I am confused. I really am. How could such a horrible fate visit someone like you, I reckon? Tell me that this is a cruel joke. Hope to see you soon. Love you much, Christine. P.S. Mama said that you don't like to take baths. Is that true? She also said that one day she insisted it was almost a fight to get you in the bathtub. When she did, however, the missing keys, my niece's ring, old news clippings, and whatever else that went missing fell out of your purse. Auntie, I must say, I had a good laugh, considering that this is no laughing matter.
It was great. We felt the connection with you and her. You're writing the piece before she passed. Mm-hmm. Like you capture her in her moment before and after, which at the time you didn't know she was gonna pass, but she had Alzheimer's at the time, but you could feel the love.
This is Poet Radio, where writings by members of the Workers' Writers School are being featured this month. You just heard the voices of Lizeth Palencia, Alondo McIntyre, and Christine Lewis. And we'll now hear works by Doreen McGill and Faith Harper. You are in tune to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Catskill, Hudson.
Hello, I'm Doreen McGill again. I can understand the loss. I lost two brothers back to back with terminal illnesses, and then my mom right after that, and I was just, how am I going to do this again? You know, with this, I can't do this again. And it's really difficult watching someone that has a limited time on the planet. I like what I do because I really get to help the mothers more so, that didn't get the information from their parents, you know, that what we were talking about earlier, you know, post-traumatic slave syndrome. They didn't get the information from their parents that would make them really good parents. They love their children, but they just don't know what to do in a lot of instances. I'll give you an example. I had a child that he's spoiled. I got twins. They've been with me since they were 7 months. Now they're 3.5 years old. One of them very spoiled. He's always bumping his head. When he gets mad, he just bumps his head. So I said, look, I showed him on the internet a doctor stitching up a child's head from an injury. And I told his mother, I told him, you see this? This is what's getting ready to happen to you. You're getting ready to go to the doctor, and one of these times you're going to break your head open, and you're going to have to stitch your head. Do you want that? He said, no. I showed his mother. I said, you keep showing him this, because this is where this is headed, with him having these tantrums and bumping. Now he's got the other one doing it too, bumping his head. When he get mad, he can't have something. So this is the kind of advice that I get, and thank God for YouTube. They got everything. You search it, they got it. So I can really help people. But I'm going to get some up home.
And stitch your head.
I'm going to get some up home. And it's... Okay. Nature. Good and pure. Can I ever not see slavery in an experience? Is anybody buried here? First thought upon arriving. Any children murdered here? Sleep in peace, darlings, if so.
Oh, wow.
So who was that about, Doreen?
Yeah.
That's just about the experience here.
That's powerful.
Every time I go to a place like this, I always get the same reaction in my mind. Especially when Mikey said he was 200 years old. I'm like, what was that? Was that in 18? Was that before 18? This is 18, 19. 200 years old.
Okay.
So it was, there's a chance that this could be connected in some type of way. So my mind always goes to that, you know. I'm just made that way. So that's my story.
About the buried here, that if you go up and down these roads right over here, there are a lot of really old cemeteries. And they're small. They're like maybe 12 feet by 12 feet, 15 feet by 15 feet, with lots of old stone markers on them. So so I think because when the Shakers were here, right, like that, there are kind of small family or community burial sites around. So that really, it was almost like you tapped into some things that are nearby.
So that could be a possibility, right? On the trek from up Rochester Way, right? Coming down.
Oh, wow.
Was it with who? Harriet Tubman or the other one?
Harriet Tubman.
Ella Baker. What's her name?
Who?
When she tell them when they were coming down from Canada. The slaves. When she, which one of them?
Harriet
was it?
Tubman.
Sojourner Truth. Sojourner Truth. Yeah. Wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. There's a Kingston. House in Kingston, right?
Right.
That,
so,
where she actually worked, and there's a plaque today outside of the
park.
House. And a park.
Okay. So the journey down, right? Is there a possibility? I'm just saying.
So my name is Faith Harper. I am a college student, and I am currently, I'm a new member of Domestic Writer, Domestic Worker Union, and the Writers School. And I made a little short poem thing while I was outside earlier called Natural Symphony. Quiet hearts beating in tune with each beat of the rock is a beat.
Why don't you start again from the beginning?
Okay, I'll start. Quiet hearts beating in tune with the wind. Each beat of the rock is a beat from my heart. Each breath is synchronized with the motion of the breeze while watching the leaves dance. It's so free. It's very simple, but honestly, for me, living in the city, it's like, it's something you don't see every day being out in, you know, upstate. I used to live here when I was younger, but it's been so long that I kind of missed it. And I guess for me, it's, I feel calm, like not as much anxiety as I would in the city with the constant noise and like not even being able to hear your own thoughts. And just getting to like walk up the mount, the little hill that's there, watching the waterfall and listening to the sound of the sun, you know, beaming down and the leaves rustling in the wind and like just the little waterfall going into the stream and all that. It's just like things you don't hear, and it kind of not only it makes you in tune with like nature, mm-hmm. but like it gets you in tune with yourself, kind of, especially for me. Since I'm always like overthinking about everything, it gave me a moment to really take a step back and like just relax.
I must say, you were able to capture some of the same feelings I was feeling. I was, when you know, like when I went outside earlier today, but I wasn't able to put it as poetic as you did.
Yeah.
Like the water, like impacting the rock, definitely mm-hmm. stood out to me, and the fact that you were able to kind of tie that to your heartbeat, like that is dope, and it captured what I was feeling when I stepped outside. So like, kudos.
And can I say, like the I like I normally don't title poems. For mm-hmm. whatever the reason, I think I was saying this to Mark in the class some years ago. I really do. I have a hard time writing a title mm-hmm. for a poem. It's just me. But I like that it's Natural Symphony. Symphony. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love the whole, the undulating fall of the fall,
mm-hmm.
the way it falls, and your observation, though,
mm-hmm.
which is made for good writing.
Yeah.
I think poetry is, you know, going outside, whatever it is, or inside and observing and writing
mm-hmm.
in a beautiful, you know, melodic, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I just love that as a musician too.
Mm-hmm.
It conjures up that for me. It wants me to play my steel drum now
mm-hmm.
to the sound of you saying this thing and just in a mellow mood.
Yeah.
And how it takes you. It's funny how we could come out here. I mean, I used to do a dance retreat in a small town in Maine called Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go out to Belfast all alone. And people, I used to get on the bus and go to Belfast, and people thought it was about a boyfriend. People say, oh, you have a boyfriend in Belfast. I had no idea where Belfast was. All I knew was that my dance teachers were having a dance retreat out in Maine, and I wanted to go. And so I used to go into a new old England house like this, really old. And the names of the rooms were all jewel, like the turret, the sapphire room, and yeah. And I'd go to this dance school. But the serenity of being in Belfast took me away from New York.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't realize when I came back to New York and realized the noise. I mean, it was like something different. Like, yeah, for real.
Yeah.
So it brought that back to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how much I like the fact that we do this work retreat that forces us to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark will say, I'm giving you the prompt and we never write. We sit down and twiddle our fingers on the paper. But the purpose is for us. Yeah, guilty as charged, I'm sorry. But this is the purpose of these things,
mm-hmm.
that we could go and be one with nature
mm-hmm.
and actually put something down on the paper.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was
so
excellent.
It really was. I mean,
was.
And stop being hard on yourself.
That's good.
Yeah,
well,
just do it.
We had talked a little bit too
yeah.
about this ending of the poem, right? And so we've been reading a little bit today, this book edited by Kiyanga Yamada Taylor, and we had Barbara Smith here earlier, How We Get Free, Black Feminism and the Combahee River Collective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of that's been one of the groundings of our conversations throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was interested in the way that word free is the last word of the poem.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, going back to Alondo, had dance in the second
yeah.
to last line, right? And so I'm wondering if we can just think about that, and you could reread just the last two lines of the poem.
Oh, while watching the leaves dance,
mm.
it's so free.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Right? And but what's so free?
Well, I guess for me, it's like living in the city, having dealt with, you know, all the stuff that I've dealt with, especially in the past few years. Being in the city, it's very hard to cope with certain things because everything's happening so fast, especially in New York. It's crowded. Everyone's fighting. There's yelling. You know, there's always something going on. Mm-hmm. And, like, for me, listening to music is a nice coping mechanism. And it's also, you know, for most people, it's very calming. So coming up here and after not being out here for a while, you know, because I used to be out in the woods a lot when I was younger, coming out here, it really took me away from all the stress of having to think about, oh, well, what am I going to do about going back, rent, all that, you know, school, just generally being in the city. Mm-hmm. And it just took me, like, it gave me a moment to really sit back and, like, listen to not only my heart, but, like, nature. Like, the reason why I kind of put natural symphony, like, it just, because my family is very, like, based on music. My dad's a drummer. My brother plays the piano. He's self-taught. You know, we were in a choir. My brother has a band and everything. We're very, like, in tune with music. So, like, even the water falling down on the rocks, like, each beat, it can be made into a song, whether or not it has lyrics or not. It's, like, it's, you know, when you tune your heart with nature, you can make so much beautiful things, and it makes you feel so free, because for a moment, you don't have to worry about, you know, the whole, especially with climate change and all that, like, you get a chance to really be one with nature, be in tune with the earth, you know. It sounds kind of like, oh, but I don't know, it's just like, that's just how I feel, like, especially being out here, like, the leaves are moving, they're changing colors, they're, you know, falling, they're dying, but they're also making way for new life.
Yeah, they're morphing,
You know, and...
That was Faith Harper reading for Poet Radio at the Workers' Writers' School retreat in October. And prior to that, you heard the words of Doreen McGill. After workshopping these poems, each of the participants took part in a somewhat rapid-fire round-robin reading for the occasion. And we will close out the program by listening once more to each of the poets who attended the retreat. Before signing off, I wanted to express my sincere gratitude to Mark Nowak, director of the Workers' Writers' School, and to the workshop participants for extending an invitation to sit in with them. It was a highly valued experience and certainly something different for me and for the program. This is Poet Radio on WGXC.
Can I say this is what I like about the writers, which our Mark, what you do with the worker writers? We work hard. We aren't able to explore all these things that surrounds us. We're able to write about it and feel this thing. And as the sister Barbara was saying, you know, own this thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody could tell us what to feel but to write. And yeah, Alzheimer, I mean, when I saw my aunt who put out Beauty Queens, who put out models on the islands of Trinidad, the length and breadth, the Caricom, the Carifta, the Caribbean islands. She didn't just put out Beauty Queens in Trinidad. She went to Grenada. She went to Jamaica. She saw for the who's of who's. And I just saw my aunt. You know, it's like you see your aunt today and then tomorrow, what? That mind going, that mind shut? And come on, I play English hymns on the pan. It's not the easiest to play on the steel drums. English hymns are hard. Just like English poems are hard. We talk about doing these poems and English poems are hard. I write poetry, by the way, and I don't understand poetry. It's hard. It's charged language. It's extremely hard. Because he wrote about a dance. He wrote about his feelings right through dance, right? Mm. And I'm thinking about Princess Diana grandson dancing. That had nothing to do with Princess Diana grandson dance. That, but I'm saying though, thanks for giving us this platform to do these things, hard as it is, and it's from an honest place, nothing else. And so, listen, when you feel to write, don't think about what people will think about you when you have to write what's happening in your workplace. Just do it.
Thank you. No backstory.
Yeah, no backstory, no conversations.
So, my name is Christine Lewis again. And I wrote this poem, Today, Sitting by the River. A slug meanders moss path. Pretty girls in purple sit at fall's edge, twiddle tired fingers in ugly crocus gloves, worn by soot, dust, oven grease.
Oh, this is the one, Doreen again. We're asked to write something about what we felt when we first got here looking at the sky.
Yeah.
So this is night sky. Night sky, beautiful sight. I'm with George Benson, give me the night. Stars, can't be in the city. Nothing in this world is more pretty.
Oh. Give me the night.
I don't know that one. No, you could, since we're going this way. Okay. Come on this way.
You can't keep that glass up.
I clearly can't.
You would think it was wine. this one is called Language. I speak a broken, ever-morphing, syncopated language. The bruised back, swollen feet from standing in the salt marshes too long type of language. I speak the language of oppression, the language of dereliction. No chicken patties, just beef. You want them in a separate box, forced to speak, pay to smile, get them a fake smile kind of language. The stealing away of oneself kind of language. Me talk it racha, but them not understand me. Small rice and peas with oxtail, no more meat in the soup, an unfulfilled type of language. The language of resistance is dissatisfied language. Only the boss and our brother can afford to take a vacation and everybody else has struggled to pay rent, but we smile, the plastic smile kind of language. I speak the language of broken peoples pretending to be whole. The language of the ones who bear the scars, the prayer, Billy P, Halapa, Pelipin, Ilipin, Falapont, Alapan, Billy P, Halapine, Dilipi, Balapars. So drink some coconut water, cause it's good for the heart. Some carrot juice will give you better eyesight. Some ackee and saltfish with yam, bananas, and dumpling to start the morning right. Master used to pay us with corn, so we'll make a mini corn porridge. Brother Nancy Survival 101 kind of language. $200 a week. Bills pass my head, another black body laid out dead. Hillary Clinton have the hot sauce in her bag, and so many Haitians can't tell when last them sleep on a bed. We were never meant to survive. So I sing the song of the clan frozen in a perpetual state of mourning. The Ezekiel saw the wheel kind of language. The displacement of blackened bodies, the forgotten language. The white man in them suits said them don't understand my language. Don't want this no more. Beat the kettle drum, play a little poker. Let me reconnect with the Maroons, cause that are my kind of language.
Yay, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you have one or you need a second?
Yeah, I
have
one.
You have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lorraine Garnett. Just a chair. I'm a chair. I'm not a bench. I'm not a sofa, and I'm definitely not a bed. I am a chair. Do not ask me if I'm antisocial. What the hell does that mean? I'm made to seat one human being at a time. Do not sit on me, then put another human being in your lap. That additional person changes my composition and weighs me down. I'm constructed for one. You cannot place extra burden on my singular structure, thus breaking and shattering my forelegs from under. Then you have the nerve to inquire about my disposition? No, I'm not antisocial. I'm a chair, damn it. If you wanted communal sitting, gather my peers and I, place us around a table for Thanksgiving dinner.
Place us in a circle and sing kumbaya, kumbaya. Place us in a row for that boring conference. Use us for musical chairs. Having said that, please only wander into my frame. It is not my fault if you fall off me due to unwanted occupancy. My lack of empathy for your downfall does not make me antisocial. I am a friggin' chair. Do not jump on me. Do not jump on me. I am not normally this rebellious. I do possess charm and wit. As a matter of fact, I do recline. Just pull the lever on my left, your right, and relax. Ease your mind, unwind. I do not discriminate. All are welcome to have a seat. Only one human backside at a time. I am a chair, damn it. Just a chair. Thank you.
The illusion.
It's funny.
Sorry. My name is Lisette. From the village of freedom, through the rainbow of all kinds of roses, travel to store over the stars of the sky, a strange peace to seek out another day. Sanctuary of caverns of hope, seasonal lives prepared for winter. There is no better time than now, the time to live now, the time to dream is now, the time to imagine and forget the past is now, the time to shine is now, the time to bleed with sweat and determine yourself for the things you want most, it's now. Not everyone you love will stay, not everyone you trust will be loyal. Some people only exist as sample of what you avoid.
Flat a wild flower on from the stone, pretty pink, and think of ordinary people. Will they be given chance to shine? Seagulled in one another, gives hope, relates to the person's world better and brighter with hope.
You want to read the one from the chapbook?
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll read it. I wrote it.
Can you say your name?
Oh, you wrote it? You have it here?
It's okay. I forgot it over again.
Oh, you have it?
Okay. Yes, I do. Okay, I'm Alfreda Small. The United States. Paranoia runs the place. I must have my gun. Children have no right to life. Weapons rule without a war.
That's true. Well, thank you, everybody. I mean, that was amazing. You are amazing.
You're a very high energy group.
We have a high energy leader.
Well, we're high energy at like hour 9 into the day.